T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Last night, in what has been just a lot of surreal stuff, we had the home opener for the New York Yankees, and the person who sang the national anthem and did a marvelous job and then called the game is our next guest. You'll hear her later today when the Yankees play the Red Sox again, and that is Susan Waldman. Susan, how you doing?
I'm great. Did I just hear you call Thomas Jefferson TJ?
That's right. I have a little nickname for him. It's TJ. Okay. I also call Teddy Roosevelt TR, too, as well.
TR, I didn't know you knew them.
Yes. I'm on a nickname basis with the president.
I didn't know you were in those circles. Good for you. Can you introduce me? I love Thomas Jefferson.
He's fascinating. And yeah, while,
absolutely. Absolutely.
While I was on vacation, because I was saying this before, Joe and I tried to get all our vacations out of the way because we knew there'd be this avalanche of sports. I just wanted to read as much as I could about random things. So I was reading about the New York Highlanders, the Yankees, mm-hmm. from the, you know, prehistoric days, and Thomas Jefferson. It was a good balance of things to read about while I was sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, I love all those. I read everything about everybody. I love biographies, so I read all those. So I probably read that one, too. I just love that stuff.
So tell me, because I thought this was really cool. Tell me the story. So you said you saw Garrett Cole years ago, and you kind of made this agreement.
Well, this is I'll tell you how this all started, because it's a really long story, but we got nothing to do.
Sure.
When Garrett was drafted by the Yankees, they had a conference call, and it was on a speakerphone in the old stadium, and I was standing with, I believe it was Damon Oppenheimer, the head of scouting, and I heard him on the phone, and he was a high school kid, and I'm listening to him, and this kid was erudite and said all the right things, and at one point I turned to, I think it was Damon, and I said, he's not coming here, he's going to school. And Damon said, no, we're going to give him a lot of money, it's going to be great. I said, I'm telling you, he's going to school. I'm telling you, he's going to school. And he did, because it was something that he neglected to say. And it went on. But he was so good and so delightful that nobody really got it. Everybody's writing it down and all that. And I remember saying, he's going to school. I'm telling you right now. And when I met him years later in Pittsburgh, and Braden, I told him the story that I knew that he wasn't coming because of one thing that he didn't say. And because they all say, I can't wait to put the uniform on. At some point in the press conference, every single kid I've ever heard in a press conference always says that, or a conference call. And he never said it. He said,
right.
Hey, I love the Yankees, and we knew about the World Series, and we knew everything in the World Series and all that stuff. But he never said, I can't wait to put the uniform on. And I said, he's going to school. So I told him that story, and we just came to start talking because he's, besides being one of the best pitchers on the planet, he's a delight. I mean, he's interested in everything and knew everything about everybody. He's one of the guys that I bet reads the media guide about all of the announcers so they know he knows who they are and what they did, because there was no reason for him to even know what I did. And I guess it was last year in the Houston clubhouse, we were talking and about all kinds of things, and I said, you know, whenever you get here, you are going to make a great Yankee. And he said, well, if I come here, you have to promise to sing the national anthem on opening day. And I said, yeah, sure, great. Okay. And at the press conference when he came over to Sweeney and me, and the first thing he said, no, don't forget your promise. Well, it wasn't exactly as we had planned it, but but we did it. And I was thinking, I had never sung the anthem in the new stadium, and I don't think I have sung it live since I was on radio. radio. So I used to do it like all the time. I probably sung it 1,000 times. And I had not sung it in public probably for 15 years. And that sort of hit me as I was standing there as they were introducing me, because there I was. And yeah, so it was kind of interesting. It was a nice moment for me. I really needed that right about now.
It was very cool. Did you, going into it, were you nervous at all, or it didn't hit you until you started singing that you hadn't done it in a long time?
No. I don't get nervous once I start singing. You know, I think of all these things. And then I was saying, because I'm in another generation altogether, I'm thinking, you know, if I screw up, there's nobody here. It doesn't matter. There's no one in the stands. That thing was all over every social media outlet in the entire world. And I totally forgot that there's Twitter and tweets and FaceTime and Facebook. And it was everywhere. So if I had screwed up, it would have been awful. And I'm thinking, you know, if it's not so good, no one's going to know. The players aren't going to care. You know, they don't hit 1,000. And there's no fans here. So nobody's going to boo and it'll be fine. But it was very surprising. It's surprising how things, you can't do anything unnoticed anymore, evidently.
Yeah, that was on. Look, everything was on TV. That was what was cool about it. We saw the introductions, the honoring of the first responders, CeCe. How was it, you know, and we obviously, none of us listening, myself, we haven't been in the building for any of these games. How is it, you know, watching a baseball game, calling a baseball game, when you don't have the emotion of the crowd and the people around you?
Well, because I've got headsets on anyway, and it's, you know, I don't feed necessarily off a crowd. I think the players do. You know, you can, a lot of the players will say, I can bring my own, Garrett Cole, I bring my own focus and my own emotion, because that's how, you know, people are in any kind of entertainment business. This is who you are. So you bring your own joy and you bring your own kind of uplift. I'll tell you that the first game John and I did when we were in the stadium and they were in Washington, that was really odd, because, you know, you can't see it. At least here you can see the players and you can see them in the clubhouse. Giancarlo Stanton, when he hit his first home run, and we're alone in Yankee Stadium, John and me and Jack Maldonado were alone there. And I immediately looked into the Yankee dugout to see who'd be the first one up to congratulate Stanton, and there was no one there. That's really weird. Doing a game alone in a dark stadium, and they're in another city.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday was, you know, it's tough. In the first place, you don't know these Red Sox. You know, it's kind of a mess right now. And it's obviously, you know, not the same. But, you know, it is baseball, and people are watching it. And I've been listening to other broadcasts. And broadcasters, to me, Evan, I don't know if you agree. Broadcasters, I think, are doing a brilliant job.
Oh,
and,
totally. Yep.
And any time that a team is on the road, the home broadcasters are sitting alone. They're sitting alone either in the stadium. Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming do their games at Fenway Park by themselves. And, you know, and the team is here, and he's sitting alone in a dark Fenway Park.
It can't be easy to do.
No,
really,
it's not.
Can't.
It's
so,
not.
Yeah, I give all the broadcasters credit. At times, you don't even know that you're not in the ballpark, which is
the only
compliment.
The thing that happens is that you lose, if the cameraman loses the ball, so do you.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to see ground, because they don't, you know, you're particularly on away games. I mean, the Yes Crew does a great job, but particularly on away games, you are at the mercy of whatever television broadcast team, you know, with cameramen that the home team has.
Right.
You know, Yes doesn't travel. They're not traveling. So it's a feed that comes out of the other city. And they're trying to do a neutral broadcast, and it's hard. You know, so, you know, if Giancarlo Stanton hits a home run, I don't need a close-up of the Oriole dugout. And that's hard to do. So you see cameramen trying to fight and see what. But I think MLB has done a good job. With there's we also have a big screen next to us that comes out of MLB, and it's like 9 little boxes. And you can see both bullpens, and you can see, you know, because we don't have the count. We don't have anything. We're looking at an empty stadium.
Yeah.
And they have all these different things. And John, I think, lost a couple of, you know, you're not sure. If the cameraman doesn't follow the ball, you don't follow the ball. But I think play-by-play guys have been doing a great job of it. Ricky Ricardo, who's replaced John for these couple of days, done a great job. It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
I give everybody a lot of credit.
And, you know, I give the Yankees credit. I know the Yankees are better than just about every team they face in the American League. I understand that. But to be 5-1 right now in the environment they've been in, where you've had rain delays, you've had sitting in a hotel for 2 days in Philadelphia, not knowing where you're going to go.
Yep.
Then you go to Baltimore. Now you're back. I mean, I get it. They're better than these teams. I understand that. But it's still kind of impressive that despite all of this, they haven't really skipped a beat.
Well, let me – I have a couple of reasons for that. One, there are young players on this team, but there is a veteran core in there. And to me, Aaron Boone is the best manager and that kind of person to manage a team like this in this kind of moment. There are two things going on. Aaron Boone, who is always calm on the surface and knows exactly and all buttoned up. And I think a lot depends on the player rep. And I've seen this in other teams, and other teams are not as buttoned up as the Yankees. Zach Britton, and I haven't talked to him about this, so I don't know, but I can tell the way people are talking about it and whom I've talked to, because once the player rep is the one that says, you know, come on, let's not do this, and let's vote on this, right, and let's do this, and this. Zach Britton has done some job, and they're both very, very calm people, very buttoned up, very precise, know exactly what they're doing, but a calm demeanor, you know. And it, you know, if I were doing it, I'd be hysterical, and the whole team would be hysterical. But it's, but I think that has a lot to do with it. Also, you've got Gardner in there, you've got Aaron Judge in there, you've got leaders, and Brett Gardner is a big voice in there, and I think that helps a lot. I don't think they have that on a lot of young teams. I really don't.
You know, you mentioned Aaron Judge as a player, and I've always said this about him. It's just about getting on the field. Once he's on the field, the guy's as good as anybody. I thought last night was a perfect example. The two-run homer, sure, but how about the play in the third inning in which he doubled up Kevin Pillar off first base?
Yeah, you know, he is, and I years ago when he came up, I remember saying to Joe, Joe Girardi, why doesn't anybody talk about what a great defensive player he is? And Joe said to me, well, because he hits 50 home runs, that's why. But part of greatness, as you know, Evan, is staying on the field. And if he does that, he is as good as anybody. And that's why also I love that Stanton is DHing. I mean, if he wants to DH every game for the rest of his career, as long as he hits like that, you know, more power to him. That's fine. They got enough people out there. But Judge, also, there was a great moment. God, I'm losing track of the cities and the days. But Judge had struck out three times before he hit a home run. And a lot of players will give up on that final. He never gives up an at bat. And if you're a young kid looking at leaders and you see your leaders never giving up an at bat, that's something you take. I remember Wade Boggs once yelling at a very young Pat Kelly that he gave away his fourth at bat because he had struck out all three times. And Boggs screamed at him, you don't ever give up an at-bat. You might find something. You might see something. And Judge does that. And that, to me, was as impressive a thing as I've seen. Because, you know, this is an odd year, and you wouldn't blame anybody if they said, okay, it's not my night. But he never does that. He never, ever does that, Aaron Judge.
What did you think of Jordan Montgomery last night? He pitches into the sixth inning.
Yep. I thought he was great. He was throwing a lot of sinkers last night instead of the fastballs that we saw in spring training, you know, the four seamers. But I think that's okay because, you know, this Red Sox team, they can't pitch anymore, but they can still hit. Sure. You know, J.D. Martinez is still on this team, and they can hit. So I think it was terrific that he did that. The game plan was to throw a lot of sinkers. So you look up there and you're saying 92, 93. Nah, that's not right. Because he was throwing 96, 97 down in spring training. And when he throws that four-seamer, he's gotten a lot more velocity since the Tommy John. I thought he was great. I think he's a really, really solid pitcher. He did exactly what they wanted him to do. And, you know, it's got to help his confidence. You know, come back from Tommy John. Can I do this? Am I really the number three starter or number four starter? Is this really going to happen? I thought he was great.
With Tommy Canely out, it stinks for him, what he's going to have to go through. It's about guys stepping up, and it really looks like Chad Green may be the guy from the latter part of last year and the year before that. He looked great last night, and they still have a really deep bullpen even without Tommy Canely.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous how much if you go backwards. And I guess I don't know when Chapman's coming back, but he was there last night and sitting on the bench, and it depends on, you know, how fast he gets into condition. But he's in pretty good condition, so I'm not. But if you go back, the only thing that'll be missing, Evan, because of Canely, is because every one of those relievers does something different.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's none of them the same. And Tommy Canely with the changeup, there was nobody like that. Chad Green, I can see that he can do anything. And last night he was mostly fastballs, which I found very interesting because this team does hit fastballs, but he was so good with it and moved it around. It was just so terrific with it. And Chad Green, Dellin Betances used to say that Chad Green had the best arm in the staff. And he showed some of that last night. But he can open. He's very calm. He also was very calm. I can do this. Yeah, they want me to open. That's fine. Want me to close? That's good, too. Mm-hmm. So I think someone like Chad Green is going to be very, very valuable.
So where are they? You think they're playing the Phillies next week? I mean, it's amazing that we're up in the air about this. But
I have no idea. I have no idea if anybody is playing. It's day to day. This really is day to day.
Oh yeah.
I know. With I'll tell you what I didn't like. The four more St. Louis Cardinals tested positive today, and they said, well, it's only one player and three staff. Well, hello. I mean, they're people too. And they're probably not the ones going out and doing whatever. I am not sure that blaming the players for being lax on this is the way to go here. Maybe some people were in hotel bars and maybe they were. I would be terrified to get on an airplane. I would be terrified to get on a bus, to go into a hotel. You don't know who's there. And how about the poor bus driver who has to drive the Marlins back to Florida,
yeah,
all the sick ones?
Yeah. What a bus ride that is.
Wear a hazmat suit?
Yeah, seriously. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you're right when you say it's day to day. Like right now, yeah, there's baseball tonight. Yeah, there may be baseball tomorrow, but I don't know. And I think it really is going to come down to what's the threshold for the commissioner and the Players Association.
You know, they've already evidently, they have told the networks to prepare alternate programming in case they shut it down on Monday. And I've read a couple of good ideas. Somebody had said, you know, close it down for a week and start again and play 50 games and go from there. Because you're going to have these little outbreaks. I mean, it's in some broadcast booths. It's two of the three Texas Rangers radio people got it. Todd Callis announced that he tested positive down in Houston. He had no, thank goodness, he had no symptoms at all, but did get a test because he was near the place and right, found that he had it. It's not because, I don't think it's totally because people are going out and saying, the heck with this, I'm going to go out and do this and nothing's going to happen. I think, you know, people are forgetting what this is, and people are forgetting that a pandemic is a pandemic and it's not a joke. And it's, you know, you can say, well, these guys, they went out. Well, maybe they did. But my guess is the staff guy who got on the bus, who talked to the bus driver, who was not, I'm not quite sure. There's too much going on here for it to keep going. We're going to wait for the next city to get it.
Yeah.
Now, what happens to the Brewers? The Phillies, because one guy didn't test positive in Philly, they're going to have workouts today, staggered workouts. Are they going to come here? Does anybody want to go into that Philly visiting clubhouse?
No. Is anyone going to want to go to South Florida and play the Marlins?
Yeah, how about poor Richard Bleier from the Orioles, who was just traded to the Marlins?
Yes,
about being, do you go? I don't know that I'd go.
No, and I think we could see players decide to opt out. There was a healthy Marlin, Eason Diaz, who was one of their young prospects, who decided, I'm opting out. I don't want to do this. And he didn't even test positive. He was just around this and said, I can't blame him. Who the heck could blame him? He says, I'm out. And we may see more players do that.
Well, and everybody is, you know, until it hits someone near you or someone. I was kind of stunned at that when I'm hearing about Texas. You know, the engineer and Matt Hicks, the second number two radio guy, they were both positive.
Wow.
And Texas did a lot. They had the plexiglass. They had everything.
Crazy.
And it's, you know, you don't know. Are you in the grocery store? Was it in an elevator? Did you pick up a letter? I don't know, you know, but yeah. Yeah, on that cheery note, I'll
well,
go back to Thomas Jefferson.
Well, on that cheery note, here's what we know. There is a baseball game tonight. The Yankees are playing the Red Sox at 7:07. And will there be a game after that? Who knows? But we do know there'll be a game tonight. We'll be listening. You and Ricky Ricardo filling in for John. And, well, have a good broadcast.
Well, thank
American
you.
Sphinx is the name of the book. It's an excellent book.
American
TJ.
Sphinx. Okay. Yeah. And then go get the book that written by Ron Chernow about Alexander Hamilton. You'll love it.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye, Evan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.